And joining me today covers the Cincinnati Bengals. It is Charlie Goldsmith from Inquirer, which is basically Cincinnati.com, and he covers the Reds and the Bengals. Charlie, thank you so much for joining the show today.
How you doing?
I'm doing really well. The Bengals are... I mean, really what the Bengals were last year was just such a shot in the arm of excitement, just with all the receivers, with Joe Burrow. You know what? Actually, let's start here. Instead of looking ahead, I want to look back for a second. How surprising, because 2 years ago, the Bengals, and part of it was because of the Joe Burrow injury, you know, they didn't really make much noise. They went from, you know, a 6-win, 5-win team to getting to the Super Bowl and keeping that game close. How shocking was last year for you?
Yeah, the Bengals head coach Zach Taylor reflected on this, and he said there were a lot of owners who would have fired him after 2 years where he only had 6 wins, where Joe Burrow got hurt, the offensive line was awful, and the defense was searching for its foundational pieces. You know, what ended up happening is we didn't realize it in the moment, but there were strokes of genius moves like drafting Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell, finding the kicker of the decade, it feels like, in Evan McPherson. These really specific defensive players they targeted that created this really versatile group that could fly around the field. And it was shocking because it all came together so quickly.
It really did. And then, you know, you next thing you know, you blink, and they're dominating the Chiefs in the second half of the AFC Championship game, and here we are. You know, in a weird sort of way, the unintended consequence of Joe Burrow getting injured the year before, I mean, it meant they had a losing record. They got to pick 5th overall, and they chose Ja'Marr Chase. It does make you wonder a little bit if Burrow was fully healthy his rookie season, they probably would have won instead. Oh, I think I was a call dropped. I think for a second I thought, did I just blow Charlie Goldsmith's brain there? We'll get him back on the line. He covers the Cincinnati Bengals for the Inquirer, which again is Cincinnati.com. And I always love sort of that, just the unintended consequences. You look at the San Antonio Spurs. You know, one of the reasons they became an incredible team? Because they lost David Robinson for basically an entire season. They had one of the worst records. They won the draft lottery, and they were able to get Tim Duncan. By the way, Craig Popovich took over as head coach right after they drafted Tim Duncan. And that's sort of the interesting unintended consequences. Same thing for the Bengals, and we got Charlie back. So yeah, Charlie, I was throwing it out there. If Joe Burrow doesn't get injured his rookie year, maybe they win a couple more games. Maybe they're not picking number 5. Maybe Ja'Marr Chase is off the board.
And that's certainly the decision and the connection that changed everything. Ja'Marr Chase right now is a top 5 receiver in the NFL. I heard something today about how Zach Taylor has been waiting for his entire career to build an offense around a receiver with exactly the skill set that Ja'Marr has. The receiver he's been dreaming of, with the versatility and the athleticism and the football IQ, being able to use him all over the field, that's who Ja'Marr is. And now he unlocks Burrow's ability to make plays outside the pocket. He unlocks Zach Taylor's flexibility as a coach. And maybe most importantly, he unlocks, you know, some opportunities for other wide receivers like T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd to get favorable matchups.
Where do we go for an encore for Joe Burrow? The last 5 games, completing 72%, averaging over 350 yards, 12 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. It's funny with guys like him and Chase. Statistically, it's hard. I don't know. To me, it feels like hard to ask that more out of them. What are your expectations for that duo?
Yeah, I mean, last year Joe Burrow led the NFL in completion percentage, and he led the NFL in yards per attempt.
Oh,
he was literally the most efficient and the most explosive quarterback. It is harder to get better than that, but the next step is, you know, how defenses change the way they guard him and how Burrow responds to that. That is viewed as a strength of Burrow, the way he reads defenses, the way he responds to adjustments. But here they come, because all offseason, you know, defenses have been scheming up the next wave of ideas to go at Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
What do you expect from the offensive line? If we look at the Achilles heel of the Cincinnati Bengals, it was that. Burrow took 51 sacks in the regular season, 19 in four playoff games. Then in the offseason, they bring in three new linemen, including Lael Collins from Dallas. How much better do you expect that offensive line to be this year versus last?
Yeah, the offensive line they had last year, look at the guys they started, you know, for pretty much the entire season. Two of them don't have jobs in the NFL anymore. Mm. One of them signed basically a, we'll give you a shot, but with very little guaranteed deal with the Bears, who have the worst offensive line in football. One of them is now the Bengals' backup guard.
Oof.
And then the left tackle is the same. So they went out and got three true, tried and true veteran reliable starters. And Lael Collins and Alex Kappa and Ted Karras, they were more aggressive in fixing their line than they literally had ever been in franchise history. And they did it for a reason because, you know, the offensive line really can help the Bengals be more consistent this year.
I love that answer because it's not just about praising or talking about who was brought in. It's how bad were the guys who they booted out. I didn't even put that perspective of just how bad some of those linemen were last year. We're joined by Charlie Goldsmith, who covers the Bengals for The Inquirer, which is, I keep saying, which is Cincinnati.com because some people hear The Inquirer and they think National Enquirer. I want to make sure that is not true. What's the pushback would you give for people that say that the team will regress? There were seven teams last year with a better scoring differential than the Bengals. All those playoff wins were one score. For people out there going, they're going to regress like the 49ers did when they went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago, what do you say to them?
Yeah, the Bengals GM said they were 37 seconds away from winning the Super Bowl. So there's very little room to improve, and there's a lot of room statistically to regress. And
yeah.
They did get lucky in a lot of ways last season. Their opponents missed a lot of field goals. Their opponents were more injured than most opponents that other teams were facing. And then in the playoffs, you know, each of the last three games, they made great turnovers to win the games. And turnovers aren't something you can always rely on as a pass because they can really fluctuate. So I think the Bengals will regress probably in those areas. But I think with the improvements on the offensive line, the defense is way deeper with the rookies they brought in. And then when you look at the guys they lost, you know, the only key players who they lost at all were a guy who would basically be their backup defensive tackle this year and their starting tight end. And they signed another starting tight end in free agency, and they drafted a backup defensive tackle in the third round. So they feel like they've replaced literally every key player they lost. So for those reasons, I think there's room for them to maybe be less lucky, but still have the same 10-7 record.
You know, from a fantasy perspective, everyone loves the Bengals because there's such clarity. There's the star quarterback, the star receiver, the legit number two receiver, and they're one of the few teams that has just one running back and it's not a rotation. Is there anything for people getting ready for their fantasy football leagues? Is there any advice you would give them, either players to bump up or players to knock down in terms of rankings?
Yeah, looking at the receivers, they really do look at it as whoever is open, they're going to get the ball. They don't really feed targets to specific players, so they are kind of who they are in that area. But one of, you know, the absolute biggest storylines in training camp is they went out and signed a veteran tight end in Hayden Hurst, and they're excited about him. They're scheming up specific plays in the red zone especially because he gives them the physicality and this route running ability and the strength with his ability to create leverage and the size that, you know, they had a different style of tight end last season who wasn't as proficient at doing those things. And Hayden Hurst, I would bet, has caught as many passes as absolutely anyone during 11-on-11 drills in training camp. He is a tried and true receiving threat at tight end. And again, it's a new element that the Bengals plan to feature pretty often this season.
Charlie, before we let you go, we're doing this asking each and every guest this question. On FanDuel, the Bengals' win total is at 9.5. Would you lean on the over or the under?
I'm at 10-7. I think they might have worse luck than they had last season, but I think the better roster gives them a shot to make it up. I have legitimate questions about the Ravens' pass rush and the Ravens' wide receiving corps. Obviously, the Browns carry a wide variety of questions at many different positions.
Yes.
And the Steelers, I think, are entering the year as the true underdog in the division because of their questions at quarterback, their inexperience at receiver, and some moving pieces they've had to try to replace on defense. So for those reasons, I see the Bengals is the favorite in the division, but I think especially with 1, 2, and 3, it's pretty close between the Bengals, Baltimore, and Cleveland.
You know, before I let you go, one of the things that's always confused me, or just I'd love to get your perspective, what happened in that second half of the AFC Championship game? I have not seen Patrick Mahomes look that bad. I mean, that might have been the worst I've ever seen him play. And it's not to take anything away from the Bengals' defense. It's a good defense. But I was just shocked by that second half. To me, it's one of the biggest mysteries. I'm curious what your eyes saw back in the AFC Championship game.
So the Bengals, when they built this defense, specifically wanted guys who were, one, athletic, and two, football smart. Those were the top two things they prioritized. And they created they used all this post-snap motion, and they only rushed three on the line of scrimmage, and they had safeties blitzing and defensive ends playing in coverage, and they changed the picture so consistently on Mahomes, and they executed that at such a high level to cover so much ground that Mahomes had nowhere to throw the ball, and it was, I think, the most impressive defensive game plan I've ever seen in person.
It was just remarkable. It was unexpected. But, hey, again, it was a shot in the arm. It was new blood in the Super Bowl and made it very entertaining. Hey, Charlie, really appreciate. You can follow the man on Twitter at @CharlieG_. It's kind of a mysterious Twitter handle, really. And appreciate you joining the show today.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
Take care. That is Charlie Goldsmith, who does cover the Cincinnati Bengals.